Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm going to be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
My life changed the day I asked a smarter question. We often look for answers, but sometimes it's about asking a smart question that guides us to the answers that we're looking for. My name is Lama Majaj, and I am of Palestinian descent. I was born in Jordan. I had lived in America, moved to Tonga, and finally migrated to Australia, and now I reside in Singapore. These experiences have all informed my work. I'm an embodied art psychotherapist, and my practice integrates bodywork, movement, and the expressive arts to help people find balance in all aspects of body and mind. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder at the age of 18, and lithium carbonate was my drug for 16 years. The smart question I asked 3 years ago was, can a human being who has changed so much over 16 years still be on the same medication? And do they need that medication? Is a question worth asking. But there was evidence out there, and it was my own experience. I then found that my physicians and psychiatrists were resistant to this question. They often said, why tip the balance if it's working? But I persisted and I had to find other answers, and I was curious, and I've succeeded in stopping taking the medication. And I allowed myself to be true to that freedom. I chose to explore it, and I made a choice to shift from a psychological model to a more embodied model. From performance to presence. With the support of my breath, I embodied what was really felt and sensed into new possibilities and states. My process was I started with keeping a detailed log to identifying patterns and behaviors and triggers. And with awareness of physiology and thoughts and sensations, I challenged my limiting beliefs and chose to compost rather than decompose. So basically, my embodied process informed my practice as I studied more and I discovered more about somatic education. I initially changed my food and diet. I practiced emotional mastery, and I studied a lot about awareness and initiating different states in the nervous system. These things that I've tried are not necessarily a prescription for those or for other people. However, I am inviting you to find things for yourself and ask your own questions. My journey encompassed many elements, many of which really focused on integrating body and mind, and also the creative process. The last 3 years has been a pilgrimage to the body. Learning something somatically new fired new neurons in my brain. I created new experiences that has new sensory feedback that altered emotions and also perceptions. Shifting from more survival state to a connection state. So I would like to share with you a free ebook that I designed. And I've been working on this for a while now. I'll share the link towards the end of the session so you can download the ebook. It's basically an experiential guide, and it has different somatic awareness meditations and daily practices to help people feel more connected and more centered on a daily practice. So now I will share with you a section, a short experiential practice from the book. So if you could just take a deep breath in and just follow my guidance. You can start by removing all footwear and socks. And please get into a comfortable seated position. Take your time. Rest your hands on your thighs and place both feet touching the ground. If you wish, you can close your eyes. Direct your attention to your breath. Are you breathing in or are you breathing out? Are you holding your breath? As you place your awareness on your breath, do you notice whether you are breathing a little faster or a little slower or a little shallower or a little deeper? You don't need to change anything. Just notice the air easing in and easing out. And notice how the air moves in and out by itself, gently. Be really curious. Be aware. Breathe freely. That's good. Now slowly bring your awareness to your right hand. Place it gently onto your chest. Slowly move your right palm around so that you can come over the point where you can sense your heartbeat. Clearly and steadily. Notice the pulsations here. Breathe freely. Breathing in and breathing out. How is your breath connected to your heartbeat? Just notice and take your time. Sense the magic of your heartbeat. Sense the quality of this beat. Your heart beats automatically and faithfully. It has been serving you before you were born. It is the reason we are alive and breathing. Breathe freely and listen to your heartbeat. Simply sense and listen. Very good. Is your tongue relaxed? Is your jaw free and easy? Breathing in and breathing out. Feel your heart's warmth. Feel your heart's vitality. Feel your heart's love. Connect with your heart. Take your time. Be gentle, delicate, and kind. Give thanks to your heart. Be grateful. Beautiful. Very nice. Now, recall a joyful or a beautiful memory that you've experienced. It can be a sunrise, a spectacular waterfall, or anywhere soothing in Mother Nature. You may recall a wonderful deed or a person who has shown you kindness and compassion. Be immersed in that memory. As you are there, sensing, hearing, feeling. Very good. Now connect to your heart again. Notice the quality of the pulsation. This is your heart saying, I like this. This is healthy and good for me. Take your time to be clear about this sensation and connect from your heart. Breathe freely. Breathing in and breathing out. Take a moment. Very good. Now gently, you can lower your arm and place it on your lap. Again, sense your heartbeat. Sense it freely without any tension. Simply explore and observe. Notice the differences. This time compared when we first started the session. Give thanks to your heart. And slowly begin to notice your surroundings. The sounds around you. The chair you're sitting in. And the ground where your feet are resting. Take a few moments, and when you're ready, gently open your eyes. Thank you. Now, if you have a small piece of paper and a pen or colors, I'd like to invite you to either draw any shapes or words, lines, create anywhere on the page, an image. take a few moments. And if you like, you can share in the chat or just think about the sentences. If your heart had the chance to speak, what would it say? Your heart is much more than an efficient pump that sustains life. Our physical heart contains its own independent nervous system. It's called the heart brain. It can sense, feel, learn, and remember. It sends information to your brain about how the body feels. It's an access point to a source of wisdom and intelligence that we can call upon to live our lives with more clarity, creativity, and enhanced intuitive capacity. All of these are important for increasing personal effectiveness and improving your health and relationships. It's good to connect to your heart on a daily basis, just taking a few minutes to direct your breath towards your heart and relax your nervous system. As I shared, there's a lot more in the book, and I will share the link towards the end of the session so you can download it. It's a free ebook, and it also has some guided audio recordings. So please enjoy. Great. Okay. Now, my talk also included a short case study that I would like to share with you. The work will be published in the American Art Therapy Journal in December. And today, I just wanted to tell you a story about one of my clients. Her name is Janelle. So Janelle was referred to art therapy because she was a very anxious child. She's 10 years old. And I initially started seeing her with her mom and for about a year. When she first came to the sessions, her first session, she drew a young girl on who was crying under a blue cloud. And she shared with me that most of the days she felt very anxious and very emotional. And she's finding it very difficult to have friends and form friends. As I started working with Janelle, my work began and my embodied practices also began as I started learning more and more about my own personal journey and embodiment. So, and I felt that if this child was able to self-regulate by actually tapping into the one thing that she knows best as her body, then she would be able to co-regulate with other people in different situations. So I initially worked with Janelle a lot on breathing. I integrated movement and art making. And as we progressed throughout the year, I will be sharing different ways, different artworks where she was able to discuss and share some of the felt senses that she had stored into her in her body as we went along. So these images are in chronological order, but they're not necessarily one after the other. But I've selected some of the sessions because they are of importance to the case study. In this session, Janelle was able to sense different sensations that were stored in her stomach. I invited her to explore the relationship between what kind of embodied feelings and sensations did she feel when she felt anxious or hurt. And for a 10-year-old girl, she was brave enough to actually externalize some of these in different colors and in sensory play. And she used a lot of her finger paint to explore that. After drawing a huge body outline, I took her through different experiential activities. And then she was able to name some of the felt sensations in her stomach. So discussed pain, anxiety, fear, hunger. Of course, we always feel hunger, and sometimes she felt exposed. Each color was very unique to her, and each individual texture also represented something that she had visualized and seen. Of course, this work is it takes time. For me, it was more about actually building safety and connecting with her on a personal level. So the first 3, 4, 5 sessions was about building rapport and working from her strength-based perspective and understanding how does she see her world and how does she view herself in relation to other. What is her understanding? What's her worldview? How does she form friends? So I did take the time to build that relationship and rapport. And slowly she was able to open up and relax. As I've been studying with Dr. Martha Eddy in her different courses, and I've also signed up with Mark Walsh for his embodied facilitator. And I found that as my practice as an art psychotherapist incorporated embodied approaches, it was actually, I had a wider palette for me to work with clients, especially when it comes down to children who might be feeling certain emotions and sensations and they're not able to really articulate it. So always an invitation was to go back to the body and identify some of these things that they've experienced. This I found that it has always been helpful in my practice. This session was significant because Janelle's actually invited her father into the session, and they both explored creative movement and art making. And they took time to use their body as a compass onto the space. So initially they were both hesitant about what they can do, but eventually they were able to move on paper, and towards the end they used each other's bodies to balance. And ever since that particular session, and the physical contact, and also the proximity and the playfulness allowed a better understanding of the father to his daughter, and that actually helped their relationship after the session. One of the unique sessions is that Janelle had some difficulty with her posture, And as an art psychotherapist, usually we don't usually notice certain things in the body, like physiologically and anatomy. But from an embodied approach, I was able to actually guide the mom and ask her about, there was some misregulation in the spine. And I asked, and I when I highlighted that to mom, it was very important for her to, for them to go in, and they actually did the next day, and they actually found some scoliosis in the spine. And now Janelle is receiving some physiotherapy to improve her posture and also be able to move more freely in the session. So we explored what does that mean for her, and the different body parts that space would be holding. And in that session, she was able to articulate she wrote, "My body is more colorful than what you think. The colors are symbols of feelings. And even though my spine is slanted, it's not malfunctional or wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. And we don't make mistakes, and so does not our body." So as Janelle's way, as Janelle has been able to feel more connected to her body, she was able to create, to comprehend and understand herself and her physiological changes in certain particular situations. And now she's actually doing really great in a way, because she's able to self-regulate and also co-regulate with others with her friends outside the sessions. In this slide, you can also see that I also shared her reflection as she shares that she was able to select specific sessions that were very particular for her. She reflected on them in a way that helped her voice what she was thinking about and what are some of the choices that she had done. This was a very important session for Janelle, because she was able to, after an experiential exercise, she was able to draw herself standing on a green hill saying, "I want some chips and I'm the most important person in my life." She also shared that art therapy had helped me express myself and connect more with people. "I know that I can be who I am and no one can judge me, no matter what there is, as there will always be me." So I just wanted to share Janelle's story and the embodied approach that I've taken in the sessions, and how she was able to articulate some of these things. Her journey has been really wonderful, and she still does her breathing practices and also her heart connections, and she's able to have more friends in school, and she's also transitioning to preteens and early adolescent life. And I wanted to just share that I'm the regional director for the International Association of Creative Arts Somatic Education, and also a principal art psychotherapist at Extraordinary People, and where we work with children on the autism spectrum. My journey has been really wonderful over the last 3 years, and embodiment is a practice, and it's a lifelong practice. And I feel that the more I know, the more I feel like I'm still discovering new things and new ways to find out more about how to be in a relationship with my body. And that's it from me. I would like to show you one more thing that is very exciting. It's a short movement-based intervention that I've created some artwork. And then I can take some questions. So enjoy. Thank you.
And sell high. You buy something at a lower price and sell at a...
Okay. So, Oksana, I can take some questions now. I know that we have about maybe 7 minutes.
Hello again. Thank you so much. I'm so like still in this, all this flow and watching. Yes, we have some questions in the question answer box and also some in the chat as far as I can see. So you can open it as well. I think you can see the first question from Fatin. Can you share your approach with autistic children?
I've been working with children on the spectrum for about 3 years now. And I work in a very non-directed and experiential manner. So it really depends on the child and their profile. The diagnosis is not very important to me because it's only a label for me, but I work a lot with the parents. So I look a lot on, I basically look at primitive reflexes, neurodevelopmental movements, how is the child able to access the environment around them, and what part of their body do they use to do so. So I do a lot of, I work a lot with balance and integration, proprioception, awareness of the body in space, especially if the child is nonverbal. I use a lot more movement-based interventions, and I work very closely with the parent, and I look at a holistic integrated approach because it's very important. Sleep, food, diet, environmental toxins, everything plays a big part in how a child on the spectrum is able to regulate and he's able to access the environment around them. So before you work with art materials, actually there's some foundational things that needs to be put in place, especially with food and sleep patterns. So I work a lot with the parents, and I also ask them to monitor and keep a diary of what are their child learning, trying to learn, what are they interested in, what are they trying to, how is their life like? Like, what's the energy level? And we monitor the food. We look at a holistic integrated approach, actually. So, and then slowly the art therapy part comes later. Yeah. But thanks for the question. I will be presenting at the a case study on how to work with children with autism at the Feldenkrais Summit in November. That's coming up on the 5th of November. And I think you can attend the webinar for free in the first 48 hours, similar to the embodiment one.
Thank you. The questions pop and pop up. So the second that I seen was from Charles. If you have any advice for coaches who want to use art in their practice and want to begin practice in art therapy, education-wise, etc.
Mm-hmm. Charles, where are you based? USA. There's a lot of courses in the USA. Go to the American Art Therapy Association, and there's qualified courses there that you can take. It's a master's degree. Art therapy is a master's degree, and it's always great to integrate different approaches when you have it. So in America, it's more the focus is more on the expressive arts, while in the UK is more psychotherapy based. So it really depends. But there's a lot of courses in universities in the US. So just go to the American Art Therapy Association and you'll find a lot of information there.
Great.
The summit is called, you're welcome, Feldenkrais Summit. And that will be on the 5th of November. I think my talk is on the 7th of November, but it starts on the 5th of November. And the whole series is about creating new possibilities for children on the spectrum. You're welcome, Nora. Okay, so we have about 9 minutes. Yeah,
we're good so far. Like 10, I would say. Holly is asking your tips on how to work with highly verbal and loud male in the spectrum.
So verbal children on the spectrum, you can reason with them, you can talk to them. I would need to understand a little bit more about the case. So if they're like very loud, that means they're very energetic. They might have some ADHD tendencies. So a lot of grounding, earthing, playing with things that are like more sensory based that can help kids calm down, like Play-Doh, sand, anything that gives that sensory input will be very helpful for children to just like calm down but it depends on their sensory profile also. So really, I would need to understand a little bit more about the case.
Okay. Where should I go now? Any suggestions for a child with ADHD from Nora?
I think children with ADHD are in a very disadvantaged they're living in a very disadvantaged world, because a lot of times what we ask the children to do is to sit for an extended period of time in schools. And I think children with ADHD actually need to move and they need to externalize the energy. So, being out in nature is very important because it's an earthing practice. So playing with natural elements, water, sun, just feeling the breeze on their skin. Also look at food. Food is very important. There's a lot of toxins at the moment in a lot of vegetables. So maybe monitor the food and see how... Food is very important because it really, what your body is what you eat. So what you give your body is, it will alter your hormones, your all the systems in the body are influenced with what you eat. So the quality of the food that you put into the system will give you an output, and the output is interlinked. Yeah.
Okay, Emily was trying to ask in the question answer box, and she's asking, how do you assist clients who experience chronic body pain?
It depends on the chronic illness, how long they've had it for. Emily, I need to understand if this is an elderly person or a young person. But generally with pain, I don't advise people to take a lot of painkillers, because it would just increase your threshold. I think it's important to create states where the person can really fully be relaxed, so that the nervous system actually has the capacity to just ease into the state. So guided meditations are important. The quality of the water they drink is important. And sometimes with pain, it's good to do somatic movement or movement for life. Like Dr. Martha Eddy has movement for life classes that you can check them out. They are good for, like, I think that she advertises as good for people who have pain from cancer. Movement usually moves the body and the fluid systems. So it's good to keep that fluidity in the muscles so that it doesn't store a lot of the pent up energy. But chronic pain is tough to manage. It's very tough to manage.
Okay, you're welcome. Here we go.
And thanks, Nora.
Okay, we have several questions on asking you more about the method that we saw in the video. Also, some people ask how we can connect to you, but we will post you links in the chat later. And if you incorporate dance in your therapy sessions as well.
I do. I'm training as a body mind dance course with Dr. Martha. So I do a lot of movement, and I think that if you are able to somatically connect to different states and embodied approaches and use your body to access different ways in the environment, you'll be able to be more connected with yourself. And also I think it's important that we move in accordance to what our body is able to and allows us to do, rather than focus on the technique. It's more free movement techniques that I use. Yes.
All right.
Osaka, what was the first question you asked me before the dance?
Before the dance was the ways to connect with you. And I think also what was exactly on the video that you were doing. So more about that method, I think.
Yeah, so the video was a 1 minute experiential practice. I did a series of somatic movement and art making. So I integrated more slow movement and fast movement with art making. And I asked one of my colleagues to just summarize that experience into 1 minute. So if you want to watch the video again, you can see how I used, well, first I like to hang upside down. So I do a lot of aerial inverted hanging upside down. So I actually started to put some of my clients in that position and see how the movement would be, because sometimes it's just a different way of being. And also just exploring paint and body, and then also chalk and geometric formations, using the body as a compass. Yeah, so there are kind of like different ways that I work with my clients, but also it's more like a performance piece for me.
I would kindly ask now participants to probably stop with questions because we still have five and we're running out of time because we have only like 5 minutes left, basically. So where should I go? What about the child that is very self-absorbed to the point of acting aggressively if the interests are not met?
Is this in a therapy session? Or is this in a home? Or who is asking?
I'm not really sure. It's a person with the name Zed. I don't know. I have no really connection. If there is, if you can answer in the chat, please answer. If not, we'll move to the next question at the moment. So the question is, if you do therapy sessions for ladies over 60 and they have lymphoma and afraid of chemotherapy?
I have worked, I've established the arts in healthcare program at the Olivia Newton-John Cancer and Wellness Center. I'm happy to discuss these cases, I think maybe outside of the Zoom, but I have worked with that age group. I also have worked as an art psychotherapist in palliative care. Fear is something that it's a disembodied state. So I would start with the fear first, and then we can move to how the cancer or where the cancer is. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm not sure who the person is, but it's a tough situation.
Yeah. So the answer from the previous question was if it's relation to the other people, not in a therapy session, about the child.
Aggression is usually a way of communication. So children usually will communicate with anger if they have not had any previous like sexual abuse cases or anything. But if they are angry about something, anger is healthy. So allowing children to feel anger is important. But it's important also for them to be able to express in different or learn how to express in different ways why are they angry or what are they trying to say, because it's a form of communication. And it's also important for people, for the children, to understand what triggers them sometimes and to be able to self-soothe or self-regulate in certain situations so that they don't escalate.
Okay, so we're taking the last ones. Have you worked with people with selective mutism before using artwork, asking Becky?
I have worked with children who have talked before and then they stopped talking. Some people thought that, I mean, different people had different opinions. Some said that it was selective mutism, others didn't. But in general, any form of the arts can be an expressive way, because the children or people who choose not to verbalize, they're able to express themselves through different means. But it takes time for people.
Going good. The other question, I was also curious, actually, Vanessa is asking, can you describe what you ask the child and the father to do in large drawings, please? I think it's the material from your presentation.
Yes. So in that session, that particular session, the relationship between Janelle and her father was very, had some trouble, so they wanted to relate to each other in a better way, and we talked about boundaries and safe space, and then how both bodies can interlink, and then they were in an explorative, playful way, so that they were able to connect on paper, and then connect together, and balance together, and then draw together. So that was the objective, was to kind of metaphorically improve their relationship.
Amazing. And the last one before we finish. And I'm also curious, Natalie is asking if you have tips how to work in a small place without having such a great studio to move and to do authentic drawing. Tips for the starters.
Well, this is my space, and I've done a lot of movement here, so I am actually going to install a hook in the ceiling, but and that's happening tomorrow morning. But I think you can be creative. Be creative.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much, Lama, for your speech. Thank you so much for sharing, for answering all the questions. Thank you all the participants for attending this session. And please don't forget to upgrade your membership if you're able to. To buy the whole library, it's restructured conspects and videos. And remember, this allows us to have this conference to watch it live and free at this moment. The link will be posted by our tech host in the chat. The website of the presenter, of course, and all the links for the book will be reposted again. Also join our Facebook group of the Embodiment Conference. It's always nice to share your experience and your feelings, emotions, and maybe even have direct chat with your favorite speaker. And the final word to you, what is your top embodiment tip? How to stay embodied, Lama?
Silent mind, existential body. Be well.